This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How the Strong Method Prepares Mediators Before a High-Stakes Session. 6 steps that give mediators structure, calm, and direction before the room heats up. In short, mediators who skip preparation do not just feel unprepared. They lose the room before the first real exchange. The Strong Method is a 6-step pre-session ritual that gives mediators structure before a high-stakes conversation begins. Each step addresses a specific failure point: vague intentions, emotional reactivity, positional thinking, missing evidence, solution avoidance, and no clear close. With practice, the ritual takes under 30 minutes and changes the quality of every session that follows. Definition: a mediator preparation method is a structured pre-session system that helps a mediator enter a conflict conversation with clear intentions, emotional composure, specific evidence, and a practical plan for guiding all parties toward a workable resolution. There is a particular kind of silence that falls in a mediation room just before things go wrong. I have sat in that silence more times than I care to count. A mediator enters with good intentions, perhaps some background notes, and a belief that their experience will carry them through. Then one party says something that cuts deep, the other reacts, and the mediator finds himself scrambling. They reach for words. They try to stay neutral, but without a mediator preparation method to anchor them, they are improvising in a burning building. Good mediation does not begin when the parties sit down. It begins 30 minutes before that, alone, with a clear structure that sets the mediator's mind, intentions, and tools in order. And Say It Right Every Time, I introduce the Strong Method as a 6-step pre-conversation ritual, and in Chapter 3 I make the case that confidence in any high-stakes dialogue is not a feeling you wait for. It is the direct result of strategic preparation. That principle applies nowhere more powerfully than in mediation, where composure is the room's composure. This article teaches you the full Strong Method as applied to mediator preparation. You will learn each step, see it in use, and understand when the method works best and when to adapt it. Why mediators lose control before the session even starts. Most mediators underestimate how much of their effectiveness is decided before anyone else arrives. They prepare the logistics, the room, the ground rules, the agenda. What they do not always prepare is themselves. Under pressure, people revert to their dominant habits. A mediator who has not set a clear intention will unconsciously drift toward the side whose case feels more sympathetic. One who has not grounded their emotions will mirror the room's anxiety rather than absorb it. One who has not prepared specific examples will rely on vague language, which parties in conflict experience as evasive or weak. The problem is not a lack of skill. It is the absence of structure at the moment when structure matters most. This is what I described throughout Say It Right Every Time as the confidence paradox. We believe we need to feel ready before we act, when in fact the readiness comes from the act of preparing systematically. The Strong Method is that system. The Strong Method, a pre-session framework for mediators. The Strong Method covers 6 steps. Each one addresses a specific point of failure that unprepared mediators encounter. Work through them in order, ideally in the 30 minutes before your session begins. Framework 1. S. State your intention. What it is. A deliberate act of naming, in plain language, exactly what you are trying to achieve in this session. What it is designed for. Preventing drift. When a mediation session loses direction, it is almost always because the mediator entered with a vague sense of purpose rather than a specific, stated intention. How it works. Number 1. Write one sentence that names your goal for the session. Not a hope or a wish. A clear, achievable outcome. For example, my intention is to help both parties identify the single most important change each is willing to make. Number 2. Write one sentence about your role. Remind yourself explicitly. I am here to guide, not to judge. I am here to hold the space, not to fill it. Number 3. Read both sentences aloud before you enter the room. The act of speaking them engages a different part of your awareness than silent reading. When to use it. Every session, without exception. The simpler the session looks on paper, the more important this step becomes. Simple sessions are where mediators get complacent. When not to use it. There's no scenario where stating your intention causes harm. However, if the session is a continuation of a previous mediation, revisit and revise your intention rather than repeating the previous session's goal verbatim. Quick example. A mediator preparing to work with two team leads who have been in open conflict for 3 months, writes, "My intention is to help both parties agree on one shared boundary for future communication. Clear, specific, achievable in a single session." Eamon's note, "I've watched mediators walk into a room carrying the weight of everything they hoped to fix. That weight shows in their body and their voice. One sentence of clear intention puts the weight down before you go in." Framework 2. T. Take a breath and ground your body. What it is: a short physiological reset that interrupts anticipatory anxiety and restores the mediator's physical composure before the session begins. What it is designed for: managing the amygdala hijack. When you feel threatened, even by the prospect of a tense conversation, your brain's threat detection system activates. Your thinking narrows. Your responses become reactive. A grounding practice interrupts that cycle before it starts. How it works. Number 1. Find a quiet space for 2 minutes before entering the room. Number 2. Adopt a power posture. Stand upright, shoulders back, feet grounded. This is not performance. It changes your physiology. I cover the mechanics of this in Chapter 3 of Say It Right Every Time. Number 3. Take 4 slow breaths. Inhale for 4 counts, exhale for 6. The longer exhale activates the parasympathetic nervous system and reduces the physical signals of stress. Number 4. Name any anxiety you feel. Research in cognitive neuroscience and decades of my own observation confirm the same thing: naming an emotion reduces its intensity. Say quietly, "I am nervous about how reactive one party may become," and notice the anxiety loosen its grip. When to use it: before every session, but particularly before sessions involving parties with a history of emotional volatility, power imbalances, or unresolved grief. When not to use it as a quick fix: if you are already in the room when you realize your composure is slipping, a visible breathing exercise will unsettle the parties. In that case, a slower speaking pace and deliberate pausing serve a similar function without drawing attention. Quick example: a mediator heading into a session between a long-term employee and a manager who mishandled a disciplinary process stands in a stairwell for 2 minutes. She names her tension. "I feel protective of the employee." That naming creates the distance she needs to stay neutral. Eamon's note: anxiety before a difficult session is not a warning sign. It is a green light. It means you understand what is at stake. The question is whether you channel it or let it run you. Framework 3. R. Respect all perspectives. What it is: a deliberate pre-session exercise in perspective taking, where the mediator actively considers the legitimate concerns, fears, and interests of every party before anyone speaks. What it is designed for: neutrality. Mediators do not lose their impartiality in the room. They lose it in the preparation phase, when they review the facts and unconsciously form a view. This step restores balance before the session begins. How it works. Number 1. Write down the core concern of each party in one sentence, using their own framing, not yours. If party A says the problem is a lack of respect, write that. Do not reframe it as a communication issue. Number 2. Identify one thing each party stands to lose if the mediation fails. This builds empathy without taking sides. Number 3. Identify one assumption you may be carrying into the room about either party. Name it. Sit with it. Prepare to test it rather than act on it. When to use it: before any session where you have received pre-mediation submissions, briefings, or informal conversations with one or both parties. The more information you carry in, the more important this step becomes. When not to use it: if you have genuinely had no contact with either party and no prior context, this step can be abbreviated. Focus steps 1 and 2 on what you know from the stated agenda alone. Quick example: a mediator preparing for a session between two colleagues with a long-running tension over project credit rights. Party A fears their contribution will continue to be invisible. Party B fears they will be publicly blamed for something systemic. The mediator's assumption to test: I suspect Party B has more power here and is using it. Eamon's note: the most dangerous mediator is the one who has already decided who is right before the session begins. This step exists to catch the tendency before it does damage. Framework 4. Oh, offer specific examples. What it is: a preparation step in which the mediator identifies concrete, observable examples of the behaviors or events at the center of the conflict, ready to use if the conversation becomes vague or circular. What it is designed for: preventing the cycle of abstract blame. When parties argue in abstractions, you always, you never, This keeps happening. Session stall. A mediator equipped with specific examples can redirect the conversation to observable facts. This connects directly to how I describe preparing for high-stakes feedback conversations. Vague complaints create defensiveness, but specific examples create clarity. How it works. Number 1. Review any documentation, submissions, or notes you hold. Identify 2 or 3 specific incidents that represent the pattern both parties are describing. Number 2. Write each example in neutral, behavioral language. Not you undermined him in the meeting, but in the 14th March project review, the budget decision was announced without prior discussion. Number 3. Prepare to offer these examples only when the conversation becomes unproductive and circular. They are not evidence for one side. They are anchors for shared reality. When to use it, particularly valuable in workplace mediations, where one or both parties struggle to move from emotional experience to specific events, or where one party denies that a pattern exists at all. When not to use it, do not deploy specific examples as a challenge or a verdict. If the atmosphere is already adversarial, introducing a specific incident without care can escalate rather than anchor. Lead with the shared goal first. Quick example. 2 colleagues are disputing ownership of a client relationship. The mediator prepares 3 specific email exchanges, each showing ambiguity in the original role assignment. These are not evidence of wrongdoing. They are evidence that the system created the confusion. Eamon's note. Specificity is the mediator's greatest tool. When both parties can look at the same observable event, the conversation shifts from who's right to what actually happened. That shift is where resolution lies. Framework 5. N. Navigate to solutions. What it is. A pre-session mapping of possible solution territory, where the mediator identifies the realistic range of outcomes and prepares to guide parties toward them without imposing any single resolution. What it is designed for. Avoiding the solution vacuum. Mediators who enter a session with no map of where the conversation could go often allow parties to circle the same ground indefinitely. This step gives the mediator a mental compass without predetermining the outcome. How it works. Number 1. Write down 3 possible resolutions that would address the core concerns of both parties. These do not need to be polished. They are options to have available if the conversation stalls. Number 2. Identify the one outcome that both parties would most likely reject immediately. Knowing this prevents you from accidentally steering toward it. Number 3. Prepare 1 bridging question for each resolution area. A bridging question opens space without prescribing a direction. Example. What would a fair arrangement look like to you going forward? Not would you be willing to share the account. When to use it. Every session. The mediator does not share this map with parties. It is a private navigation tool that prevents the session from drifting into a cul-de-sac. When not to use it rigidly. If new information emerges early in the session that changes the picture entirely, set aside your pre-prepared solutions and recalibrate. The map is a guide, not a script. Quick example. A mediator preparing for a session between a team member and a line manager over workload distribution prepares 3 possible outcomes: a revised task allocation, a clearer escalation process, or a short-term trial arrangement with a review date. She identifies the likeliest flashpoint, a proposed change to reporting lines that one party will see as punitive. Eamon's note. You are not solving the problem before the session. You are learning the terrain. There is a difference. Framework 6. G. Gain commitment to action. What it is. A preparation step in which the mediator plans exactly how the session will close, including how commitment will be sought, named, and recorded. What it is designed for. Preventing the most common mediator failure, a session that produces insight, but no action. Parties can leave a mediation feeling heard and still do nothing differently. The closing phase, prepared in advance, prevents that outcome. How it works. Number 1. Decide in advance how you will signal the close of the session. Prepare a sentence that moves the conversation from reflection to commitment. We have covered a great deal today. I want to make sure we leave with something concrete. Number 2. Prepare a commitment question for each party. Not a general question, but one tied to what each party controls. What is the one thing you're willing to do differently before our next session? Number 3. Plan how the commitment will be documented. A written summary, even a brief one, significantly increases follow-through. Decide whether you will draft it in the room or send it within 24 hours. When to use it. Every session. Even if the session does not reach a full resolution, a partial commitment from each party preserves momentum and prevents regression. when not to use it prematurely. Do not rush to the commitment phase before both parties feel genuinely heard. A commitment made under pressure or fatigue rarely holds. If the session has not produced enough shared understanding, schedule a second session rather than forcing an agreement. Quick example. A mediator wraps a session between two colleagues who have reached a tentative understanding. She asks each party one specific question. What will you do differently in your next joint meeting? Both name a behavior. She reads the commitments back, confirms them, and sends a written summary the same afternoon. Eamon's note. An agreement that nobody writes down is not an agreement. It is a pleasant conversation. Your job is not done until the commitment has a name and a date. Choosing the right emphasis. A mediator session guide. Not every session requires equal weight on all six steps. Here is a quick reference for where to focus your preparation energy based on the type of session you are facing. Session type heaviest preparation focus. First session between hostile parties is intention plus degrounding plus our perspectives. Repeat session with no progress or specific examples plus end solutions. Session with power imbalance our perspectives plus degrounding. Session nearing resolution end solutions plus G commitment. Emotionally volatile parties, degrounding plus our perspectives plus O examples. Multi-party workplace dispute S intention plus end solutions plus G commitment. You still work through all six steps, but knowing where the session's greatest risk lies tells you where to spend the most careful thought. A mediator preparing for a first session with two hostile parties should invest more time in grounding and perspective taking than in solution mapping. One preparing a third session where resolution is close should weight their preparation toward the commitment structure. For situations where the conflict is fracturing team relationships more broadly, the principles behind how to use the deal method to resolve conflicts that are fracturing team synergy offer useful companion guidance on the resolution conversation itself. Where mediators trip themselves up. In my experience, prepared mediators still make three consistent errors. Each one is worth knowing before you walk in. The mistake: confusing your prepared intention with a predetermined outcome. Why it happens: the S step asks you to name a goal, and some mediators interpret that as deciding the answer before the session. What to do instead? Your intention names the purpose of the session, not its conclusion. Help both parties identify a shared boundary is an intention. Get them to agree to a weekly check-in is an agenda. One opens the conversation, the other closes it before it begins. The mistake: skipping the grounding step because you feel calm. Why it happens: anticipatory anxiety sometimes does not show up until you are already in the room. Mediators who felt calm beforehand assume they do not need the reset. What to do instead? Do the T step regardless. Composure maintained is easier than composure recovered. This connects to what I describe as the confidence competence loop and say it right every time. Small consistent practices build the resilience you need when real pressure arrives. The mistake: deploying your prepared examples as evidence rather than anchors. Why it happens: when a party denies a pattern, the mediator reaches for a specific incident to prove the point. This shifts the mediator from neutral guide to advocate. What to do instead? Use examples to create shared reference points, not to win arguments. There was an incident on the 14th that both of you experienced differently. Can we look at that together? Stays neutral. Here is proof of what happened. Does not. Recognizing these errors in real time is a skill. It develops with practice, not just with knowledge. For practical grounding tools you can use when tension rises inside the session itself, the core framework offers solid moment-to-moment support. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at eamonblickthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Building fluency with the straw method over time. The first time you work through all six steps before a mediation session, it will feel slow. You will spend time on each component, check your notes, and wonder whether you are doing it right. That is exactly where you should be. Fluency comes from repetition, not from talent. After 10 sessions, the sequence will begin to feel natural. After 20, you will find yourself running parts of it mentally during the 5-minute walk from your office to the room. This is a confidence competence loop working as it should. Small wins build competence. Competence builds confidence, and confidence drives further practice. Start with the steps that address your personal vulnerabilities. If you tend to lose neutrality, weight your early practice toward the R step. If you rush to solutions, spend longer on the N step until your instinct to close down slows. If you leave sessions without clear agreements, rehearse the D step until the closing sequence feels as natural as the opening. For team members preparing for their own difficult conversations rather than mediating others, the Strom method applied to individual preparation follows the same 6 steps, but shifts the focus from facilitation to personal readiness. For a broader approach to pre-conversation anxiety, the conversation pre-mortem is a companion technique I also cover in Chapter 3. It asks you to identify worst-case scenarios before the session, assess how likely each one actually is, and prepare a specific response for each. Used alongside the Strom method, it removes most of the fear from high-stakes mediation preparation. Resolving interpersonal tension effectively also requires empathy as a core skill throughout the session itself, not just during preparation. The Guide to Resolving Interpersonal Tension Through Empathy and the Deal method for workplace tension both extend what the Strom ritual builds. What you carry into the room is what the room becomes. The parties in a mediation session read you before they hear you. They feel your composure or your anxiety. They sense whether you know where you're taking them. They test your neutrality in the first 5 minutes. What they find determines whether they trust the process enough to engage honestly. Every element of the Strom mediator preparation method is designed to answer the test before it is asked. Your stated intention gives you direction. Your grounded body gives you calm. Your respect for all perspectives gives you balance. Your specific examples give you credibility. Your solution map gives you confidence. Your commitment plan gives you a close worth reaching. Here is the truth that its structure does not constrain you in the room. It frees you. When the preparation is done, you can be fully present, fully responsive, and fully in service of the people in front of you. That is what a prepared mediator feels like, and that is what the room needs most. Frequently asked questions. What is a mediator preparation method? A mediator preparation method is a structured pre-session ritual that helps a mediator enter a conflict conversation with clear intentions, emotional composure, and a practical plan. The Strom method is one such system, covering 6 steps from setting intention to securing commitment. How does the Strom method help mediators in high-stakes sessions? The Strom method reduces anticipatory anxiety and prevents reactive responses by giving mediators a clear sequence to follow before entering a session. Each step builds composure and direction, so the mediator can hold neutrality even when the conversation becomes heated. Why do mediators need a pre-session preparation ritual? Without a preparation ritual, mediators default to instinct under pressure, which often means taking sides, rushing to solutions, or losing control of the room. A structured method ensures the mediator enters with intention, specific examples ready, and a plan for navigating the session. What does the S in Strom stand for mediators? In the mediator context, S stands for state your intention. Before the session begins, the mediator clearly defines the purpose and outcome they are working toward. This prevents the session from drifting and gives all parties a shared direction from the first moment. Can the Strom method be used for workplace mediation? Yes, the Strom method is especially well suited to workplace mediation, where interpersonal tension, power dynamics, and competing interests make preparation critical. The method helps mediators prepare for specific objections, gather concrete examples, and enter the session with grounded confidence. How long does the Strom pre-session ritual take? The full 6-step Strom method typically takes 15 to 30 minutes when done properly. Each step requires focused thought, not lengthy writing. With practice, the ritual becomes faster as mediators internalize the sequence and develop fluency with each component. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblickthorne.com to get your copy.